Community People with Len Fisher.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the show. Coming up to 3.5 minutes past seven on this Tuesday evening. I'm Len Fisher, live here from our Sea Haven FM studios. My guest tonight is Graham King. He's the pastor of Peace Haven Evangelical Free Church. Second time he's on this show. Can't wait to chat. There are certain shows, we've had all the shows on the Community People I enjoy, but there's certain shows you really, really look forward to meeting the guest again. And as tonight, and my guest is Graham. Now, Graham King is the pastor of Peace Haven Evangelical Free Church, Graham. Welcome, matey.
That's correct. Thank you so much. So good to be on again with
it's
you.
It's lovely, mate. Yeah, we've caught up very quickly. We were working out, well, in fact, you looked at your phone 3 years and 1 month.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Because of COVID and everything, we've not been able to get together.
And when we sat in the other studio, didn't we? We talked about what we're going to talk about tonight. None of us had any idea what was coming, did we?
No, I mean, the last time we were on the show was right before COVID. So because of that, we didn't get to do our trips to India. We haven't done that for 3 years, so we just had a trip in February. It's the first time we've been back for 3 years, and the work goes on. The children are growing up over there, and it's just a joy to be there.
Yeah, and for the listener who didn't hear the show, or if they did, can't remember what we were talking about 3 years ago, Peace Haven Evangelical Free Church, they support some villages in India, don't they?
Well, particularly the focus is on a children's home that was built out there. Well, the building started in 2008, and now there's a completed children's home for about 55, 60 really precious children from about the age of 5 up to about 18. And so the focus, the heartbeat of the church and the mission is that children's home. But it's grown, you know, also in terms of a mission up into the villages with churches, and there's a lot happening. The leper compound, we have a ministry there, and
we'll talk about the leper colony later. I mean, when we say remote villages, we are talking remote, aren't we?
Yes, yeah. it's in the state of Odisha on the east of India, and where we go by 4x4, we a couple of hours drive up into the mountains, and these are tribal villages that many of these people have never seen a white face before. They never get foreigners there. And it's extremely, extremely remote.
And needy. I mean, it's not all about sort of talking about the faith, is it? It's helping the village with a whole series of things.
Yes, absolutely. Spiritual need, but physical need, and a lot of poverty. And we can only do so much, but we have an effect and an impact on people's lives. Yeah.
And for the listener's perspective, and only when you reminded me of the story, because you think to yourself, well, okay, how did Peace Haven Evangelical Church get involved with India? But this was a chance meeting, wasn't it?
Right. Well, that's why it's a joy to share this, really, with the listeners tonight, because it is one of those stories. Of course, there's a lot of poverty and a lot of need and sadness with the stories you hear, but the work that's taken place there is something that's really got many beautiful, it's a silver lining runs through it, and many beautiful redemption stories in people's lives. So the way it started is there was a young Christian teenager, David, in India, growing up in Odisha, and he had this dream and prayer that maybe one day he could visit England. And there was a woman from Eastbourne, an elderly lady from Eastbourne, who was visiting India on her own. She saw this young Indian teenager reading his Bible. She said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes." They got talking. She said, "Would you like to come to England?" So she flew him over. And when you read, the contrast is unbelievable from where he came to coming here. And while he was here, he was on the top of the bus going on the South Coast Road, passes Peace Haven Church, which anyone in this area knows it's right on the main road there. Got off the bus and said, "I'm going to go there on Sunday." And he came and he shared his story with the leaders of the church, and he pleaded with them. And he says, "Listen, I've got these orphans, these street kids sleeping on the floor in my house. Please come and see." So to the credit of these two gents in the church, they did. They said, "Listen, we'll never know unless we go and see it, if it's genuine, if there's a real need and work." And they went, and sure enough, their heart was really touched with what they saw. They saw the need. came back and told the church, and people started praying and fundraising and giving. And as the years rolled on, we bought a plot of land, built a children's home, and it's a miraculous, beautiful work that's happened.
I mean, you make that sound so easy. I mean, it's a lovely story, isn't it? And it's a true story, but you make it sound so simple. I mean, you think about it. You bring in a young lad, the chance meeting of the woman and the lad for a start, mm-hmm. and her living down in Eastbourne Way, and him getting on the bus and just driving, and stopping at your church.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, everyone embraces the whole thing, and you know, you're building a community centre there, and God knows what else.
Yeah,
it makes it sound so simple, but it's not. Is it?
Well, I mean, I would say from my perspective, I see just a providential hand and just yeah. God breathing on the whole thing, all of the divine appointments and meetings, and how the provisions have come in and the funds for the work. It's really been miraculous. And I think when you go there, this was my fourth trip just in February, you are taken aback every time with, gosh, this little church in Peacehaven is somehow impacting
yes.
these people's lives in this remote region of India. And it's a privilege to be a part of it, to see it, to support it, to go there. And it is a marvel.
I just find it incredible. I thought last time you told the story, well, story makes it sound like you're making it up, but it's not. It's a true situation.
And what's amazing too is of course we talk about the what makes it beautiful is the children, and when you see the children mm. from the ages of about 5 to about 18, you just fall in love with them, and you. Of course, many of their backstories are heartbreaking. You know,
yeah.
how they came to be in the
yeah.
home, their parents killed in hurricanes or snake bites or accidents, whatever it might be. But when they talk to you, they just say, we just thank God for the home of life, is what the home's called. And they say, we just thank God for the home of life and for your hearts towards us. And there's a great reward in seeing that.
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I mean, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about. I want to talk about the leper colony. I also want to talk about some of the issues closer to home with Peacehaven, because there might be a listener out there who thinks, well, it's all well and good going to India, sorting them out, but we've got local issues. And you know, you'll tell us later on about how the church is dealing with or helping with some of the local issues. Can we talk about you, though, first? I mean...
No.
Thank you. Thank you for making that easy. No, I mean, your background is America, Hungary.
I have a bit of an accent. I'm guilty of that. But I am English, born in Sussex, believe it or not,
right.
and raised in Surrey. But I went to college in America, and I taught in an American school in Budapest. And I lived there for 18 years, and 6 years ago moved back home
right.
to England and now pastor the Peacehaven Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in case the listener hasn't seen, I mean, you do these online services now that you can just log into, and there you are in your glory. And I must just say to the listener out there, I mean, you stand up every week and do these sermons, absolutely brilliant, faultless. And you're sitting here now saying, I'm nervous. I just can't believe that.
Well, I quite like to see the people that I'm talking to.
Yeah. Well, as I said just now, I'd rather not see the ones I'm talking
to. Yeah, yeah.
But, so, I mean, your background, has it always been within the church, or was that a defining moment somewhere along the line?
It certainly was. I didn't grow up in a Christian family or background or home. I went to Catholic schools when I was younger and wasn't really enthused by the religious element of faith. And when I was 21, I first had someone explain the heartbeat of the gospel message. It's not about religion, but it's about having a relationship and a personal faith with a living God, and explaining that it wasn't by my own merits or my own works, but it was because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And when I heard that, it was a pivotal point in my life, and It all became clear. Yeah.
Yeah. And we obviously won't go into family details, but I mean, you got what, 3 kids?
I do have 3 teenagers.
Teenagers.
Yes. Terrorizing me.
Are they supportive?
yes, they are. We're a Christian family, and we share the Christian faith and church together.
Yeah.
But they have their own journey, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it, yes. But you do need the support of family, obviously. Mm-hmm. I want to go back, if I may. There was a number of elements out in India. And without getting into the politics, and I certainly don't want to put you on the spot here because you've got to go back to India. But, I mean, you're talking about a Hindu religion out there. And Christianity, you know, you're setting up this village and everything with Christianity. There's inevitably going to be some conflict, isn't there?
There is.
Without getting into the politics of it.
Sure, sure. And there needs to be, like anywhere, but in particular regions of the world and countries, there needs to be an awareness and a sensitivity that goes with that. I mean, it's 94% Hindu there. The government is quite strict and careful and wary of outside influences and effects. So, but back in the 1900s, the Canadian Baptist missionaries were in this region, and some of the church villages are now Christian villages, and some are still Hindu.
Right.
But there's a vacuum and openness for the truth and for something real and living and spiritual in their lives, just beyond anything else. So there's an openness and a need there on a spiritual level as well as anything else.
And we'll hear about some of the projects as well, because I mean, literally, you have started from a blank canvas out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the leper colony, we'll touch on that. People are having their dinner at the moment, sorry, listener. But it's an important thing, because you wouldn't think leprosy was a situation nowadays, but it obviously is. Graham, we've been chatting about a whole number of things, and I want to take us back to India now, because you've gone back to India, what, February this year?
Yes. I mean, as we said, the work started 15 years ago now, 2008, and because of COVID, we hadn't been for 3 years. We try and do an annual trip. And this time I went back with two other guys from the church that had never been to India before. We were there for about 10 days. We hadn't seen the children, of course, for 3 years. Many of those have grown up. You didn't recognize some of them. But it was such a joy to go back, and it was a really full trip. I mean, as soon as you hit the ground, there's just so much to do, so much need. With the children, we're meeting with them every day. We're doing little Bible stories and teaching them songs and giving them. We take lots of, you know, gifts and supplies out there. We did a day trip with the kids to the sea at the Indian Ocean and the Bay of Bengal. There's a couple of hours away, and all of the children would never have seen the sea unless we take them over the years. And this time we said, how many have never seen the sea? And half the hands go up. And when you see them running into the sea, 55 orphans, and you're swimming with them, it's incredible joy. We also had two conferences way up in the mountains for the churches that we're connected with now. And I remember one of them, we drove a couple of hours, 4x4, up these little dirt roads, these most remote places you could imagine, high up into the mountains of Odisha. And we're just underneath the highest mountain on this plateau. And all of a sudden, the leader of the church, he starts saying things on a tannoy. And then these ladies start singing, and we're thinking, what are they doing? Maybe they're practicing for the conference later, because there's no one here. There was just a big canopy. No one was there. And they kept singing, and then the sun went down, and we realized what they were doing is they were basically signaling to the villages up above us that the guests had arrived and the conference would be starting. And we began to see this little trail of lights coming down the mountain over here, and then over there, and then over there, all the way across the mountain, you saw these trails of lights, and hundreds of people just slowly gathered and filled this under this canopy. And then we began with songs and teaching and preaching, and it's an incredible experience, like a real missionary magical experience. And we ordained 9 Indian men to be pastors this trip, which was really such a joy. Very sweet, humble men in real need of teaching, but they're gifted, and they're ministering and teaching others. And I connect with them online quite a bit as well. And we have some teaching, and we've been able to support some of them to go to Bible college in India and things like that to help the work continue. We did a 2-day seminar with those men, 35 men. And again, some of them have their churches in Hindu villages where they face quite a bit of persecution.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we've been able to raise support for them, to get some of them, you know, motorbikes to get around in the do their ministry, to put tin roofs on their churches and help provide their needs. So that's been a joy.
It's a different world, isn't it?
To see that happen. Yeah, it is. And then, of course, the leper colony is part of our partnership as well.
So, listener, I mean, the leper colony's been there all the time. If I remember when we chatted 3 years ago, there was a situation there where the leper colonies were basically just left alone, weren't they? The lepers were just alone, weren't they?
Well, I mean, they are, you know, they're completely... I mean, on the first trip, when Jeff and Richard went in 2008, they thought, gosh, there must be a cure for this now. So they reached out to World Health Organization and managed to get the medicine to cure them. So they don't actually have leprosy now, but they still show the effects
scars.
Of it.
Yeah.
And they're still ostracized completely from the community. No one will have anything to do with them. And when people see us going there and hugging them and bringing in supplies, they think it's so strange, but they're called the Untouchables, and they know that everyone refers to them as the Untouchables. No one goes there, no one cares about them or loves them. And they say, oh, listen, we're so thankful for the supplies that you bring and the blankets and the food, but the most important thing is that you love us.
Mm-hmm.
And you come and you hug us and you bring, you know, Jesus to us. And, you know, that's what they are so thankful for. And It's a beautiful thing.
Has it been eradicated now, leprosy, or is it? I mean, are there new ones adding to the group there, or are the ones that's just there just part of the group still?
Yes, yeah. No one else is contracting that.
Right.
I mean, one story. There's one girl there, Swati, her name was, and she was abandoned as a little baby girl in the field next to the hospital. And one of the ladies who had leprosy found her and tried to give her, and no one would take the baby because, you're from the leprosy compound. So that young girl grew up on the compound, although she wasn't affected at all. And that lady effectively became a mother. And she just got married this last trip. She's about 20, 21 now, beautiful teenage girl. But What a path, what a journey she's had. But she's a beautiful girl. I remember the first trip we went, you know, just had some amazing times with her and got to share the message of hope and love and grace to her. And she opened her heart and became a believer. And she's a sweet, sweet Christian girl now, yeah.
Can I ask you, Graham, a personal thing now? I mean, what keeps you going? Apart from your faith, obviously. But, do you get up each day and think, that's it, I'm ready to go again? Or do you get days when you think, hang on, there's so many things I'm trying to deal with?
Yeah.
Be it in Peacehaven or be it, you know, with your parishioners or in India?
Well,
I would say
to ask me that question and say, apart from your faith, is not fair.
Because that is the answer.
Okay. Because
that keeps you going.
I mean, essentially just being just very aware of God's grace and presence and heart towards me every day, and just being aware of his promises and growing in a relationship with him, as we alluded to earlier, you know, the Christian faith, although sadly it's so easily recognized to be, you know, just like in the hills of Odisha, some of these churches, they're kind of lost their way and they're dying a little bit. They need a bit of fire and revival of the truth. And it's the same in England. We've got many church buildings that are like, you know, monuments to something that once was. But where there is the, you know, Bible teaching and the gospel of grace, there is life. And that's what draw off on personally every day. And what every Christian needs is that personal relationship.
Yeah, it's just our chats with people like yourself and it's just so committed. There's no, I'm going to earn X number of pounds for doing this or doing that, or I've got to do this, I've got to... You're just passionate about the whole thing.
I don't think anyone would say they were always like that. I think something personal and powerful happened in their life. They encountered what they would say is the living God, and there was a turning point in their life, and that's what I would say.
Yeah, brilliant. Can we touch back home at the moment, peace open, because there might be listeners, as I said earlier, who think, well, that's all well and good for India, and it's a fantastic job that you're doing out there, but obviously our local towns have got issues. And it would be wrong just to assume that the church are not doing anything for peace open, because actually they are. They're doing lots, aren't they, the local area?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think any mission starts at home, doesn't it? Mm. I mean, it's wonderful that we have a heart and a vision and a mission that reaches so many miles away. But essentially, our heart primarily is locally, Peacehaven and the local towns. And we have people from not just Peacehaven, but different towns that are part of our church. As I said, I've been there for 6 years, and it's just been a joy over these 6 years to see the church growing, young families coming in, and just a sense of life and family. That's the church, a lot of people finding something that's very, meaningful in their life. And we would just say that the doors are open and to anyone in the area. Come along on a Sunday morning, you'll be most welcome. You'll be and see what's happening there. But during the week, we have... the church building is basically open most days, with being used by different people in the community, different groups, slimming groups, fitness groups, art clubs. We have a youth meeting coming up this week, women's meetings and coffee opportunities and Bible studies and lots of things like that.
And a warm hub. You've been a warm hub during the winter.
Yeah, we had a warm hub over the winter months and things like that happening, yeah.
And food banks, I mean, I can't believe, 3 or 4 years ago when we were chatting before, food banks were just coming in. We weren't really aware of them to that extent. I was saying to someone the other day, if someone had said 5 years ago what a food bank was, you wouldn't really know. And yet every town and village virtually has got one now, isn't it? And Peacehaven is no different to that, sadly.
Right.
It's very important. Yeah, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there are people in real need. I mean, we have a food drive in our church and connected with the food bank. Many of our people in the church volunteer at the food bank and are part of that team.
Tonight we've covered a load of subjects, Graham, and it's very emotional chatting to you every time. I want to go back to the leper colony, if I may. Mm-hmm. I find that quite frightening. I found it a lovely story about the young girl that eventually got married. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. But the fact that people are isolated, left isolated, because they're lepers, or even though they're cured of it.
Right, right. I remember very clearly the first time I ever went to the leper compound, the leprosy compound, and I just found myself just trying to hold it together when I was walking around, because you can't believe the conditions that were there. And I hesitate to mention some of it, but it's just dire need and poverty and conditions that just the dirt and filth and everything. So your heart goes out to these precious people that have ended up in this predicament. And again, we're just so thankful that in some measure you can have an impact and a ministry into the lives of these, these precious people. There is a lady in our church, actually, Lisa, who has been to India a few years back, and she was particularly touched by that need and started an awareness support group here in Sussex in our church. It's called Leg to Stand On. If anyone ever had the desire to support towards the needs there, just contact us and that can happen.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing about supporting this, whether it be the children's home or the leper colony, whatever it might be, is it's such a joy to be able to say every penny that is given hits the ground and makes an impact. There's no question about, are there overheads and do they get all of it? I can personally vouch that every penny that's given meets the needs directly there.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that's one of the worries we all have, isn't it? There's some very valid groups out there, and I won't mention any names, but a lot of the donations end up with paying salaries or doing marketing or whatever, whereas at your level, you take it out with you.
Yeah.
You turn it into rupees and you buy what's needed.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And we have been able to connect with some other organisations that have, like the school I used to teach in in Budapest. It's an international school. They did fundraising and we were able to buy a vehicle for the home. And while we were out there this trip, the vehicle, it cost us £14,000. It was a slow fundraiser. But eventually we were able, I was able to hand the keys over to the David who runs the home. Imagine for all these years, the kids are walking a couple of miles through the woods, through the jungle, essentially in the rainy season, in the heat of the summer, these little kids walking to school and back. And we were able to give them a vehicle for their first time, which is such a game changer. So it's wonderful to be able to
make a difference, make a difference. Yeah. Things that you and I in this country would just take for granted. There's a lot to take in tonight. If the listener wants to have a look at your website, it's a really easy website. It's PEFC, which is Peace Saving Evangelical, sorry, Free Church, pefc.org.uk. And it's got all the details on there of some of the services. You asked me to pick a track tonight, which we didn't have, I'm afraid, but we do have the artist. The name's Carrie Underwood. You obviously are aware of some of her music.
Yes, yeah, I know she's a fervent Christian and a lot of her.
Now, I have to say, neither of us have heard this particular track. It was a B-side, came out in 2015. It's called Something in the Water.
Save me, wasting the life that the good Lord gave me. That's something.
voice, Carrie Underwood and Something in the Water. My guest is Graham King from Peacehaven Evangelical Free Church. Going to need to lose him very shortly. And we were just chatting while Carrie was singing away there. Do you ever feel the whole thing is just too big, that you can't make a difference?
Well, one thing when you go to India that is overwhelming is there is such a sense of need. And although by God's grace we've been able to raise funds, and there's still and it will always be a need, and whichever way you look. I remember, I'm sure you probably heard the illustration of a man's on the beach and there's all countless starfish that have been washed up onto the beach, and one by one he's throwing them back into the sea, and someone comes up and he says, "What are you doing? You're not going to make a difference." And then he says, he throws one back and he says, "Well, I made a difference to that one." Mm. And the point being is you can't do everything, but you can do something.
Yeah.
And especially when you think about India, the incredible need, we're just in one of the 29 states. There's 49 million people in that one state. There's so much need, the countless street children and poverty. But you can do something, and you can make a little difference.
That's a lovely story as well.
Yeah.
I've only got 40 seconds left, mate. Quickly, Indian night.
Well, we have Indian night at the church, PEFC, on May 20th at 5 p.m. The doors are open. There's Indian food, a slide presentation, opportunity to give, and anyone is welcome. And the same goes for any Sunday. The doors are open. We'd love to see you. Please
Brilliant,
come and
mate.
Visit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put some details for the listener tonight in case you missed anything. And I tell you, it's a fascinating show, well worth. The listener game will come up on your screen in about 20 minutes' time. Very easy. Graham, I want to thank you. I know you're a busy man. And I'll see you again in 3 years.
Thank you. Joy to be here.